I read that book and it had this really profound impact on me where I almost was like, what do I need to be doing with this? What am I, what do I want my legacy to be? And being from Alabama, being from, the Equal Justice Initiative, which Brian started, is based here in Montgomery, Alabama. So I was like, if I'm going to write a record, these are the things that are moving me. You can kind of see a reflection, or at least your perspective of a reflection of kind of where you feel like, personally, and maybe where the country, I guess, as a society, where it's starting to kind of head, and there's bits and pieces of the past that kind of come into that, and just trying to navigate what it means to be, be from where I'm from, what it means to, are we trying to seek out love? Is there a possibility of that? It's just a, it's an interesting, it's a, it was just an interesting kind of journey. So the record had a lot to kind of discovering that and navigating through
So
that.
is it race relations? Is it the divide between the rich and the poor? Or is it just about loving each other, like you're saying?
It's all of the above.
Okay.
And that was what I didn't realize was such a heavy task with the record. And I didn't realize I was writing it.
Fist in the good while everyone is slinging mud. Jesus found his politics, but nobody lives on.
Well, and you threw the church imagery. As a matter of fact, the album cover itself has church imagery with, it hints at the gospel nature of the record. So are you tying, social justice, equal justice in with religion as well?
Okay. I think there are definitely times where it's I've never understood why social justice and things like that, it's such a buzz term now, but I've never understood why it's politicized. I've always thought that the fundamental roots of, I would say, all religion is some sort of taking care of your neighbor and loving your neighbor and things like that. And I think it's always been bizarre to me. And the idea, it kind of gets lost in the noise. It's like trying to find the essence of things and trying to find what is real. It becomes more difficult. We're all connected, but we're not really connected. People, people don't have, I mean, even at concerts, people have to watch a show through a cell phone and not have a genuine, real experience.
Yeah.
I think we're just at a weird place. And it was such a, I didn't realize while writing the record that it was such a heavy task and so weighty when I was writing it. But it was like, I have to write what I feel. Because if I don't, I kind of lose interest. I would probably quit doing this if I quit doing it that way. And
that's
kind of what happened.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Once the album was written and maybe recorded, did you find some of the answers maybe that the questions you had going into this? Or was it sort of cathartic for you? Are you a different person coming out after having done this album?
I think so. I mean, I think for me, I the story that I don't tell too often, but I've said it in the past. I really, after going through kind of all this with the first record, you have this identity crisis where you go, now you've had a little bit of success or what's perceived as success, and you go, then you have to decide, do you really want that? I kind of am who I am. I'm not. I live a very certain kind of lifestyle where I'm pretty boring, and I don't know if that's something that you just kind of go through. Do you want this to define you? I vividly remember thinking about quitting and had my letters all written and was going to talk to everybody about quitting. And, my wife obviously was like, you can't do that. You really love doing this. You just need to find what you need to come back to what you really love about it. And so writing the second record, kind of doing what I wanted to do, I think is the thing, and writing what I wanted to write instead of being worried about it, that kind of changed me, and that's how I'm going to approach it from here on out.
Is it the way that I move?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the boring part. Have you are you familiar at all with the history of Rush, the band?
Oh yeah, there's that great documentary about.
Yeah, I just got done watching that about a month ago, and those guys ran into the same problem, you know, when at the on tour they were back in their hotel rooms reading books, and everyone else is out there doing drugs and drinking and getting stupid, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it is, but that is me. I'm going to get in the tour bus and you know, maybe hang out with the guys a little bit, and we just talk about the show. But I'm usually going to get in, call my wife, and read a book. I mean, it's just not, and I don't drink, never have, and it's an interesting lifestyle for me. Yeah. It would probably not be my first choice. But I love doing it, and I love playing music, and I love performing, and so it's like, it's this weird thing. But you just realize, you just do you. And screw the rest, really.
Well, let's go to the soul music. What has caught a lot of people's attention is young people that have really latched on to this retro soul, the 60s and 70s soul sound. Leon Bridges, Michael Kiwanuka, Charles Bradley's not young, I guess, but you know, his new music sounds like something from the 60s and 70s. Where is this love of classic soul coming from?
I think it's obviously something there. I think the idea behind it for us was, you know, we have a pretty strong history in the state of you know, Muscle Shoals and the Muscle Soul sound, you know, the Swampers and things like that. So for us, it was a situation where we were like, the first record, we were like, oh, that's, let's see if we could do it like they did it, because that's music I grew up with and I didn't really know any better. I mean, it's true. There's algorithms now for hits. There are people out there who have an algorithm to be like, all right, well, let's put this in, and this will be a hit. And it's like, so everything is sounding so vanilla and just like you're hearing the same song over and over again. And I think with soul music and really, like, you know, soul music especially, though, is so raw. And you can't hide behind certain, you know, modern tools. You have to sing. It's the live performance. I mean, everything you see on stage, everything you hear is being done on stage. And that's a big deal. And we've done a ton of festivals, played around the world. That is not very common, which is kind of sad to me.
Paul Janeway from St. Paul and a Broken Bones is joining us here on GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. You guys are, you're a high-energy band, both in studio and in concert, but there's a song on this album, the new album Sea of Noise, that just knocked me on my butt, and it has nothing to do with high energy. Is It Me?
Oh, yeah.
That song, yeah. You know, you mentioned Muscle Shoals. It almost sounds like something that could have been recorded down in Muscle Shoals back in the day.
Yeah, it's that song to me is a that's actually one of my favorite songs probably I've ever written. That's a really special song for me, especially for the record, because it is the bow on top. It's this song that it deals with a sci-fi novel that also deals with the idea of Southern identity, and what's beautiful is we do it during the show and we do it really stripped down, you know. It with just a guitar and horns.
Gone's how they smoke behind the dogwood trees. All the bars are closed right before the county line. Oh, how that breeze smells like honey from a bee. Is it head? Is it home? Or is it me?
You know, this is kind of a sweet lullaby kind of song. That's one of my favorite songs I've ever written.
Jesus is stuck inside my TV screen, giving all the answers, but never holding me. Heaven's too far away, and I can't find no peace. Is it hell? Is it home? Or is it me?
So you mentioned how boring you are in real life, but, you know, on stage, you're almost a maniac. What... Are you sort of like one of these football players who is just like meek as all get out off the field, but then, you know, all your whatever you need to get out, you do it on stage?
I think for me, the idea is that it's a therapy. It's therapy for an hour and a half. It's my release. It's always, music's always kind of been that way for me. There's like a switch that goes off, and I have a personality. You know, I'm definitely a personality as far as a person, but I'm just not. I'm not that. I think some people think I'd probably do some sort of chemical enhancement on my brain. You know, it's funny because when people go, "Oh, you're influenced by soul music and all these things," and while that's true, there's also like some Iggy and the Stooges type stuff there too. That like there's a little more punk rock element to it, and which is always kind of funny. It's a funny mixture.
Well, keep doing it because everyone's digging it so much. Paul Janeway, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, thank you so much for your time. It's great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.